This is what keeps you from Jesus Christ. You love sin more than Christ. And that is the very thing that's blocking true salvation from changing your life and the Holy Spirit filling your soul. At the end of the day, you have to love Jesus Christ more than you want a temporal, self-destructing, devastating lust for sin and pleasure and self. It's that simple and it's that big a deal. This is why Jesus brings it down.
Hey, listeners, Live in the Light here, and we are back in the studio today with another message from Matthew chapter 5 called The Sin of Lust is Serious. Hey, do you think Jesus didn't address lust and pride and sexual sin? Think again. Today's message is jam-packed with a topic that has become such a huge deal in our culture, and not in a positive way. The world has become obsessed with the idea of appealing to the desires of the flesh, leaving Jesus' words behind. But as Christ followers, we want to become more and more like Him. So that's why we don't skip the tough stuff in Matthew chapter 5.
That's right, Shannon. Absolutely. Even that sermon title, that'll get your attention. Hey, the sin of lust is serious. You don't hear that very often. I mean, but this is serious. This is a huge deal today. In fact, I believe in the importance of this message as much as any, based on what Shannon just said and the need to hear. So may the Lord use this time. It's tough, but again, so important that we are able to root out that which is seeking to destroy our souls and on an issue that is so prevalent in our day. I'm so glad Jesus did not shy away from such things. Again, He loved us with grace and truth. And here at the Live in the Light, we are seeking to do the same. We are committed to loving you as Jesus did, with grace and with truth. So today, there's lots of truth, and we pray it's met also with great grace, that you might be powerfully convicted and moved. And maybe you'll want to share this message on some level, again, that Jesus Christ might be moving and transforming and allowing us to be more purified before Him. So Lord, use it today. Use it today. Speak again to specific individuals so powerfully and wonderfully. You'll have mercy, and may they know the love of Jesus Christ with brokenness, but being aware of such beauty that is found in you as we seek to be pure before you in this massive issue, again, of sexual lust. Here we go, Shannon. Matthew 5.
Here we go. Listeners, let's get into the text together. Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30.
Verses 27 to 30 today. Just as we do that, I would say that almost every weekend, if you rated the sermons and content, probably about a G rating most of the time. A G rating. Today I think is going to be a PG rating, and I'm not concerned about the content. I'm really happy with all ages that are here right now. But I think PG parental guidance. I think this is an important day. This is a very, very serious message from Jesus. And this is one that I think really lends itself to afterwards to discussing and in a parental guidance way, maybe with the ages that are here and even amongst ourselves as well. Just recognizing that there's a heaviness and there's an urgency and there's an importance to what we're going to be talking about today. I feel it right now. Last service was evidence of that too. And we are walking into the heart of enemy territory today on an issue that is absolutely ravaging lives in the millions and millions and millions across our world. Today, church, it is life and death. There is no exaggeration. Jesus Himself says that. Today is life and death. This is the difference between heaven and hell for those who are truly repentant and those who want to seek the Lord and those who could care less. It's that serious. My heart's beating a little fast right now just for, I believe, what we're doing. And I welcome that. I welcome that. I'm trying to be faithful as I can as a church to the Word of God and believing, man, we need to hear so much. So all that to say, I'm going to pray. Let's remember, we're in a spiritual battle right now. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. And all around this place right now, and even people here, maybe your heart's beating a little faster right now too because the Holy Spirit's revealing to you that today's an important day. Satan hates this so much. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad Overflow's here. I'm so glad Orangeville's watching. I'm so glad we're here together, but this is a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And I want us to pray accordingly. So I'm gonna pray and I ask, would you agree with me if your heart is in line with this and just recognizing those that are here, the hundreds and hundreds of hearts and souls and how much we need the Lord to speak. So Father, we just wanna start by saying we love you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, adore you and worship you. And next, we need you, we need you. I just so recognize, Lord, it took me about an hour to get into the text this week in my study to realize this is a big deal. We are walking into the heart of enemy territory. So many lives, so many thousands and really millions are held in bondage to what is leading them to death and destruction. It's that serious. And so in Jesus' name, we pray together as your church. We pray you'll set the captives free. Amen, church. Amen. We pray you will release men and women and children from bondage today. Today, I beg you to give eyes to see the darkness that they are in. I beg you, Lord, that you will help each of us to recognize the seriousness of this moment. Your words, Lord, not mine, your words today, and that you would lead us to a place of true wisdom and faith and power and freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, our world hates this message today. It is so against it. Satan certainly does. And so all the more reason we need to give it. I pray there be grace. I pray there be truth. I pray there be love. May it be so. We pray today, right now, as we go into battle in Jesus' name. You agree? Amen. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Haven't got your attention already? I'll get it with our sermon title today. It's this: the sin of lust is serious. The sin of lust is incredibly serious. Again, I want to remind you, I don't decide the topics preaching. Jesus does, right? Just when we're going through the Sermon on the Mount verse by verse, this is the next section. This is the next topic. Jesus has decided that 2,000 years ago. Apparently, Jesus believes we need some serious attention on the issue of lust. And of course, he would be right. This is a particular sin that is just wreaking havoc and destroying life after life after life within our society. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to be taught on it, and we need to be saved from it. It's very important too that we acknowledge how the sin of lust has become so pervasive and so dominant in our society. The sin of lust is not only tolerated now, it is in fact heavily promoted and celebrated. I think maybe a generation or two ago, this sin in many aspects of society still carried public shame. I'm not saying it didn't happen. Of course, it's always happened. But I still think, at least in this nation, there's a sense of public shame when sins like these were exposed. Often they would happen behind closed doors or at the very least isolated sections of society. Well, no longer. This sin is absolutely flaunted with staggering pride and shocking arrogance and really spitting in the face of God. It's where we live today. That is a sign of how corrupt our society has become and how evil and darkened the heart has also progressed in the day that we live. It's also important for me to recognize that the sexual revolution that consumes us at every turn, we have to understand at the core of the sexual revolution is what? There's a flesh-driven appetite to satisfy every pulpus of lust-filled pleasure. At the core of what's happening around us, it's I want what I want, when I want, how I want, with whoever I want, and no one can tell me otherwise. It's all about, again, at its core, a desire to fulfill the lustly appetites of the flesh in as much sin as possible. That's what's happening all around us. It's also fascinating to me that the Bible explicitly connects in multiple times, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 4, Revelation 18, and many other passages we'll see today. The Bible explicitly connects the return and judgment of Christ, pouring out the wrath of God upon the world, and the connection to the world's complete desire and lust for sin in the area, again, of lust. The connection of God's return, Jesus Christ returning and his judgment. Like, take Revelation 18. Man, just, it sobers me so much to read. I encourage you to read it. Revelation 18, describing the fall of the Babylonian Empire, again, the system of the world, and describing it as a dwelling place for demons, a haunt of all unclean spirits. And at the heart, it says, for the nations have drunk the wine of the passions of the flesh and sexual immorality. That's very sobering for us. The lust of the heart of humanity to pursue sinful acts of the flesh and lust is going to be one of the main reasons when Christ returns, the judgment that is coming upon the entire earth for those who reject Jesus Christ and have longed after their own sinfulness and desires of the flesh as opposed to obedience in Jesus Christ. And not my words, it's God's word. That's how serious this is today. We need to be awakened. See, what happens is we get numbed. What happens is we grow so indifferent to the things around us. Jesus comes in and blows that up today. He's like, no, this is deadly serious, and we need to, again, admit it as such. So a very, very important issue, and Jesus states with shocking clarity today, the sin of lust is serious. Not just serious, it is life and death. The sin of lust is deadly serious. I just want you to know that, like, I'm not, like, this is hard for me today, but I believe in it with everything I have because God's word says it. But it's not like there's a great joy in the sense of, like, again, like, I feel the urgency at this very moment. But I believe so much, so many are dying. And so many need to be set free from the sin that is destroying lives and families and marriages and young men and women. Like as much as ever, we will find out. And that's why today, again, comes with so much sobriety. God's word, Matthew 5, verse 27. Matthew 5, verse 27. If it's any day to have a Bible, it's probably today. Matthew 5, 27, look what it says. Jesus says, "You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members," listen to this, "than your whole body be thrown into hell." What's it worth it to you that we don't go to hell? What can we lose now to save our lives for all of eternity? Verse 30, in case you didn't hear it, he says it again. "And if your right hand now causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Okay, wow. Wow, let's start here today. When it comes to the sin of lust, I must understand the sobering reality of it. I must understand the sobering reality of the sin of lust. So when Jesus says, verse 27, when he says, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery," likely his whole audience is with him. They're like, yeah, that's the seventh commandment. You know, tied to the 10th commandment, you should not covet your neighbor's wife. They're like, yeah, we're totally with you. You know, mostly obviously Jewish audience. They know the word, they know the Torah. However, the moment Jesus states verse 28, his listeners probably go from agreement to astonishment as they try to kind of pick up what he's actually saying. Verse 28, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So, any genuine Christ follower here today, a genuine follower of Christ, understands that adultery is a grievous sin before God. Jesus now takes this, though, a whole step further. And Jesus explains, to look at a woman, this is lust, again, from woman to man or man to woman, again, married or not married, that's what it's speaking to in its totality here. To look at a woman with lustful intent is committing adultery with her in her heart. So lustful intent here is looking at a woman to feed your inner sensual appetites. It's lusting after someone that does not belong to us in a longing to feed the sensual, sinful, sexual appetites of the flesh. We look, we stare, we long, we lust. But Jesus is saying here. And it's also, notice, the reason he relates it to adultery, because what is adultery? Adultery is stealing something that isn't yours. So when you long to have someone that is not yours, that doesn't belong to you, that is adultery of the heart. You long to steal that which does not belong to you. You long to fantasize about, to lust after, to imagine and to embrace in the heart, which Jesus says is deadly serious. It is sinful and is absolutely devastating. Notice what Jesus is doing too again, right? He's going from external actions, physical adultery, to internal motives, adultery in the heart, the lusting of the flesh. Why does he do that? Because he wants your heart. He wants your heart. That's why. It is likely that the religious leaders were all against physical adultery. Because again, that's in the commandments of God. They would have taught that, and it's likely that they obeyed it. However, they had no issues probably with lust of the heart. They were probably filled with a lusting in the heart, and they didn't see it as a problem. Jesus exposes them right here. He blows us up, and he says, listen, when your heart is impure, your whole life is impure. A lot of people can walk around externally obeying, but inside they are full of corruption and sin and lust and devastation of their soul and no real affection for Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. The sin outside of us is massively important. The sin inside of us is also massively important. We also learn here that heart adultery is the result of eye adultery. Meaning, what we choose to see and gaze upon and long after stimulates the heart within us. It is the eyes that fuel the desire for the heart. What we look outside of us affects what's inside of us and impacts our desires in us as well. We must be aware of that. That's why Job says in Job 31, a verse that's probably familiar to a lot of you, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not gaze at a virgin. Someone does not belong to me. This is not purity. This is what's going to hurt me and destroy me. I made a covenant with what I look at that I may not be impacted and affected again within me as my heart gets so hurt by such, again, lustful longing. It's just like that little children's hymn that at least I grew up with. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see from the God of love is looking down from above. And he is, he always is. And the eye is the lamp of the body. It's like what we look at, what comes again and impacts us within. It's a huge deal. And this is what Jesus is getting at. At the same time, I want to point this out too, right? There's two things happening here. What we look at is what impacts again what's within us. But however, listen, what we long for, what we lust after is indication what's in our hearts. So when I'm longing and lusting after sinful things, then what that's saying to me and us together, it's saying that there's a corruption in my heart that's deadly serious. When I am fixated on sinning, that's showing to me my sin is inside. My heart is corrupt. I have issues because from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart flows again the way we live and think and act. So there's two things happening here. What I look at will impact my heart, but what I look at and long for indicates what's actually within me as well. We must be so careful. We must take this so seriously. What Jesus is teaching here too, he's teaching really this. And if you can look at this sequence, it's what I look at is what I long for. What I long for, the lusting. If I'm lusting, then I'm losing. Be so careful what our eyes look at. I mean, this part there's control over. And then the longing that turns to lusting, every single time I will lose. Every single time when it forms the sinful of lust and longing for something that does not belong to me. Every single time I will lose. This is what Jesus is saying. And listen, this is why our society is being so ravaged from within. Because why? Because we are promoting and celebrating that which is poison for the heart and devastation for the soul. It's also indicating too, just how corrupt of heart our society is, spitting in the face of God and celebrating that which is self-destruction for humanity. The collapse of the family, the ruin of genuine affection and relationships. And it's just destroying, again, our society from within. Our society is caught in a tsunami of lust more than ever before. With technology and the way the media works, Jesus stands in the midst of the tsunami and he points to a better way. He points to a way, and so many will laugh and mock. Of course they do. But for all who truly listen, who truly see, he says, I point you to the way of life. I point you to the way of light. I point you to the way of healing. I point you to the way of true love. I point you to the way of everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. And it all starts with the heart. But that is why, for example, that things like pornography are so absolutely devastating, ripping lives to shreds. Josh Hawley points out, that porn traffic is driving the internet in our world today. I don't think that's an understatement or an overstatement. Porn searches are by far some of the most popular now on earth. Porn is a multi-billion dollar industry. Porn has never been easier to access. Listen to what Mark Regenerous said about this. He said on the screen, he says, men can see more flesh in 5 minutes than their grandfathers could see in a lifetime. Now think about that. That's also true. We are living in a current state and generation where men and of course women, I wanna make sure that's clear here today, men and women now can see more flesh in 5 minutes than their great grandparents could see again in the entirety of their lifetimes. That's how serious this is. That's how scary it is. That's what has changed again in the progress of our society. And what's the impact of this licentious lust? Well, it's absolute travesty. It's awful. 43% of American men report watching pornography in the past week. 24% of men report today or yesterday. Just think about that. Today or yesterday, 24% of men. Sexual addictions, of course, are on the rise. The use of porn among women is also increasing at alarming rates. Young women too, fantasizing and accessing porn and other means of having adultery in their heart and letting lust take over again portions of their lives. What's also devastating now, more and more young women face dating a young man who's currently addicted to porn. That is a horrific start to a relationship that is supposed to be in purity and in stability and in the pursuit of Christ. Studies show that porn use now is causing men to be less confident in engaging with women. Young men are less confident in their physical appearance due to their porn use. They're more self-conscious, they're insecure due to the devastation of their lust. In fact, some young men are not willing to put themselves at risk with a real woman at all. What a disaster. Of course, with the increase of porn use comes the collapse of the family. Men are so caught up in the sin of lust, they have disappeared in terms of their God-given roles as husbands and fathers. They are so consumed with the sin that is eating at their brains and hearts and ravaging their souls, they're no longer able to be who God intended them to be, again, as leaders and examples, and those who are to love those who are closest to them. It's absolutely disastrous. Porn also kills what is intended for true beauty, purity, and satisfaction. Increasing evidence is linking active porn use to causing hearts to be deadened. Young men and women are becoming desensitized to what God designed as beautiful in his sight, where sex, a creation of God in the context of a man and woman in marriage, designed to be absolutely beautiful and glorious. Now there's such an abuse of mind and heart and a degradation of the soul in terms of the sin. There's no sensitivity at all right now. They're deadened and callous, no feeling. Why do you think Viagra's been so popular in the last several decades? And drugs like it. Because we need medicine now to allow again men and women to get to a place that should be there in the first place in purity before Christ. It's been so killing us from all over the place. That's why Jesus brings messages like this to say, man, this is such an important thing to recognize. If we let the sin into our hearts, it's gonna ravage our lives. And listen, the pornography thing, that's one aspect and segment of society in terms of lust. Just one in our current day. I spend some time on it to shine light on it. Then there's things like social media, which overlap, but things like social media that are so highly addictive, often saturated with so many opportunities to lust if you want to. I had Instagram on my phone for 3 minutes several years ago before I realized this isn't going to be good for my heart on multiple levels. One of them being images I don't want to look at. 3 minutes, you know, they're saying, well, Robbie, you're pretty weak. Yes, I am. And it's not worth it to me. Like I looked at it for 3 minutes saying, this isn't worth the risk and other things too, just distraction, wasting time. Now that's my decision. You have to make your decision. There's too much at stake for me. Right here, right now, husband, again, father, pastor, friend, brother, son, there's just too much at stake. I don't have the time to waste right now. It's not worth it to me. Maybe it is to you, but you have to be super, super careful in what you're doing and what the Holy Spirit's saying. And the world that we live, again, is this helping my heart or hurting my heart? And if in the end you can say it's helping your heart more than hurting, well, then God bless you. That's great. But if you can admit it's hurting me more than helping me in terms of passion for Christ, following him, serving him, and being pure before him, if it's hurting you more, I don't know, man. I don't think it's worth it. The apps that are specifically designed in our day to addict you and to steal your heart and ruin your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's pretty hard to authenticate. That's pretty hard in my mind to justify. An app specifically designed to promote ungodliness, unrighteousness, and idolatry, and we're gonna justify it on every level. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. Men and women here right now too, like all the things that are going on, and just maybe I'll speak to men in a little bit, I already have, but women too, like just like the role of what's happening, all these young women these days that are placing pictures of themselves in the specific desire that men will lust after them. Yeah, like what is that? We have to be so, so careful. And the different novels we're reading to fantasize, the TV shows we're watching, women, and the series that we engage our mind and hearts with and binge with the root desire of lusting after, again, pictures and men or whatever it is that's on that show. These are things we have to be so careful with, to admit to ourselves and say, is it worth it? I don't know how it is worth it. Wrecking our lives and desires for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's become so common now, so common that it's like, well, everyone's doing it now. What about this too, right? So many sitting here right now and you're like, why don't I have affection for Christ? Why do I not want to sing to the Lord? Why do I have no hunger for the word? Why do I not serve in his church and love his kingdom? It's because your heart's infested with lust. That's why. Like, let's stop being so dumb. If our whole lives are consumed with sin, of course you have no appetite for Jesus Christ. You can't fill your life with sin at the same time worship Christ. You gotta worship him or not worship him. Like right now, some young men here right now, this is your answer. The reason your life is not going the way you want is because sin of lust is ravaging your heart and destroying your soul. This is what keeps you from Jesus Christ. You love sin more than Christ. And that is the very thing that's blocking true salvation from changing your life and the Holy Spirit filling your soul. At the end of the day, you have to love Jesus Christ more than you want a temporal, self-destructing, devastating lust for sin and pleasure and self. It's that simple and it's that big a deal. This is why Jesus brings, again, Matthew 5 to us today to expose the reality of what's happening within. Because this is about life and death, to recognize I'm drinking poison for my soul. Sin is reigning again in my body. And that's happening. What did you expect to happen? Do you expect love, joy, and peace? Of course not. That's not the way it works. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. I'm telling you, we're moving right into the heart of enemy territory today. Like right into the heart. So many. Trust me, I'm human. I understand the battle, the significance and the seriousness. I just wanna, again, like the seriousness of scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2 is a very powerful chapter. It's speaking of false teachers trying to lead new believers away from Christ and trying to destroy them by their false teaching. False teachers, irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant. Wow. This is God's word, New Testament. 2 Peter 2, they will also be destroyed in their destruction. Be careful who you follow. Like, you're following the sins of the world. This is our end.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna